wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
All right. Thank you so much for letting me give you a call this week. Funston, what is the name of the chat this week?
I'll be moderating Indian education, policy, leadership, anything that is dealing with Indian education, whether it be at the classroom level, school level, district level, just anything our educators in Oklahoma or even our stakeholders in Oklahoma want to talk about.
I like that. And so why Indian education and why now?
Well, one of the prompts I'm going to ask Twitter followers is, since we're native from Oklahoma, you know, what are some things that we do in our school districts, classrooms that embrace Native Oklahoma? And we have so many tribes here. We have 39 federally recognized tribes. If you were to break out some of those tribes, we would have a total of 67 tribes and nations here in Oklahoma.
Wow, that is great education for me, actually. I did not know that. And so some of the questions you've got, are we digging deep or are we staying on the surface level here?
Surface, probably just discuss a little bit about Indian education. I don't know how well our audience is going to be tomorrow. I'm excited. I just want people to know, we have Indian students. I'm going to say Native American students, but we have Native American students, Native American families throughout our public school districts. And just a historical background, I just finished up my dissertation topic, or writing it, actually. So I'll be defending next month.
Ah, perfect.
My whole dissertation is going to be on Indian education. Just Indian people in general have a special relationship with the federal government. Here in Oklahoma, it's kind of dynamic because we have a relationship with the federal government. We also have a relationship with the state government. We also have a relationship with the local government. We also have a relationship with our tribal government. So Indian people throughout Oklahoma, we have a unique setup. And that even goes into the public school systems, too. So I just want to be people aware of our, our Indian heritage and who we are and just embrace it.
Yeah, that's great. So question, and this may be too much, or maybe it's right up your alley, but we had the chat on racism a few weeks ago. How do you feel Native Americans are treated in Oklahoma? And do you think there's a racism problem with the Native Americans as well?
To me, I mean, I love education. That's what we do. We want to educate our citizens, our citizenry, whether it be, pre-K, early childhood, all the way to adults. One of the things we can do in education is change some of the imagery or some of the stereotypes, assumptions of who we are as people. I feel Oklahoma has an understanding, but I don't think it's probably surface like we had talked about. It's not deep understanding of the relationships we have with all these types of governments, like I had mentioned, state, local, federal, tribal. So just if I can get at that out there, bring up the discussion, then we'd start, hopefully, I think if we start discussing, I think policy, hopefully legislation or just whatever research can follow along and then make people aware.
So are you, is your dissertation complete or are you still writing?
It's complete.
Okay. Dang, it would have been nice.
Yesterday.
Okay.
Actually this morning.
I wonder if anything comes of this chat that makes you think, maybe I should write a follow-up.
Actually, it was an exploratory study. When I was going through, we had to critique certain dissertations, and usually the dissertations I found were from the qualitative perspective, actually qualitative methodology. We just don't have the population size to support or sustain a quantitative methodology, looking at the number of statistics. I was able to find a population, and that's how I was able to do a quantitative analysis. So it's exploratory, it's one of a kind. So it's going to hopefully inspire somebody maybe on the Twitter chat tomorrow night or just a doctoral candidate or a doctoral student that would want to follow up with it and actually do, carry it out. So
that's excellent. Are you going to be dropping knowledge bombs on us like you did for me today?
No. I just want the discussion. That's all I want. One of the things I got in education was just let people know who we are as Indian people, Native Americans. I even have to go into our own population and teach them. I said, what are some of the imagery? What are the betrayals of us out there? And one of the things I always try to do, I've been an assistant principal, I've been a teacher, I've been a coach. It's one of the things I want to do is that work on the imagery of who we are, you know, and just really change kind of the perception of who we are as Indian people. So that's kind of one of the things I want to do in here in Oklahoma.
How long have you been participating in the Oklahoma Ed chat?
Actually, I just found it. I saw the hashtag. It was probably the past year.
Great.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket.
Welcome back. I feel like I should sing it. Welcome back. You know, Cotter. Anyway, welcome back to Okla Said. I feel like we just lost two subscribers with that intro.
That's right. Both of you.
This is the podcast where Scott Hazelwood, who is at Teach From Here on the Twitters, and myself, which is at ebarn73 on the Twitters, we break down the Okla Ed chat from Sunday nights, and we put it into a fun little listening version for your listening pleasure.
Yeah, to tickle your ears, as it were.
So this week, we talked about Indian education and policy with Funston WM. And he was actually, I got to talk to him, and you will hear that. So he shared a lot of things in the interview that we did before the chat. And I really didn't know how much I didn't know about Indian education.
And it's interesting that you say that, because I feel like I didn't know very much about Indian education either. But that Native American culture is a big part of how our state became a state. I mean, it's an important piece, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like on several levels, one, this chat was one of the most challenging chats that I've ever participated in over a topic that is pretty important to where we reside.
No, I mean, more so than if we lived in, say, I don't know, Kansas. And I'm sure Kansas has got their own version of it. But this was it. This was the Indian Territory. And it just dawned on me, like, how little I have mentioned that except for my Oklahoma history class.
Right. I mean, and if you just look through a lot of the city names and even the state name of Oklahoma, a lot of those things go back to, I believe, Native American naming designations.
No, I believe you're right.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a very challenging chat, I think, because so many teachers are not necessarily from that culture, and it's important for us to have this conversation.
Sure. Well, so let's dive in.
Question
number one: what is Indian education to you, and your role? What is your role in this? Provide some insight into your classroom and/or school.
So I really liked what Aaron Baker at Baker Left had to say. He said, support indigenous students, provide space for students to celebrate their heritage, teach an indigenous people's history of the United States, which I think would be different than maybe how you and I went through history class.
I think it would be completely different. I think what Twyla had to say, and she is at Twyla Hester, said, Indian Ed looks different by district. It should provide supports for Native American students and provide cultural experience for all students. And I mean, I think that's true, especially me being a white teacher, having so little knowledge on the subject. I need to be creating more experiences for all students here.
Right. I mean, that's part of learning about who we are as a people growing up here. A lot of these experiences are important. My stepmother is Native American, and so my half sister is as well. And there's been some things about that I just don't understand because I'm unaware. So,
right.
Interesting stuff. Question two: in the past, Oklahoma calls itself Native America. Do we agree? Discuss imagery or qualities or values that you manifest in your classroom or school.
Okay, so I do agree. And I just took a group of students to Rose Hill, the one-room schoolhouse. Are you familiar with this?
I have heard of it.
Okay, so it is super amazing. And in this experience, they taught the kids a little bit of Oklahoma history, this third and fourth grade group. And it was super fun. But to see how much, again, I was getting schooled here too, to see how much of the state was Indian territory. And then once we became a state, how much we took from them. Gosh, I do agree that it is Native America, but just so many different things come to mind, and I don't know the age appropriacy to be able to talk about some of these things. But I do like, I didn't even put the name here, but it said, I teach U.S. history. Jackson figures big in the curriculum. I teach Oklahoma as originating from a series of broken treaties. And that is what we are. And that was Baker left again. He had several great tweets in here. But we are a series of broken treaties, broken promises over and over and over to the indigenous people of the United States.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting in a study as to how we did become Native America. It was somebody got left, somebody was abused in that situation.
For sure.
But also looking around, I think Oklahoma is proud of its cultural heritage. And I think we do try and represent ourselves well as Native America. And we're not, I don't think that's something that we're afraid of. Our state flag is a shield from those indigenous cultures, which I think is really cool. And that's what we fly.
I love our state flag. Can I say that? We've done a lot of states and seen their flags, and there are some great flags out there, but I think ours really is one of the prettiest flags, and that's not just because I'm from here. So
it's pretty interesting. I like it. Linda Hassler-Reed, at Linda Hassler-Reed, she answered this question in a couple of pieces. This is her second part. She said, one challenge is keeping cultural awareness, history, and pride strong as Native Americans become more ethnically blended in the Oklahoma fabric.
And
I think it's fair to say with some of these cultures that these are cultures that are dissipating before our eyes. And if we're not careful, we're going to lose all realistic view of that culture, like the language and the history and things like that. Keeping that alive becomes difficult as people become more blended and look less towards the past.
Well, and look, physically, the physical features look less and less like what we would think of in a textbook, you know, the brown skin and the black hair. And one of my students here is a blonde haired, blue eyed, but on the register, Cherokee Indian here. And so I think as we are blending ethnically, we are looking less and less, you know, in the features, like Native Americans, and just keeping that stuff, you know, alive is where we need to go.
Yeah. I think it's definitely a challenge, but it's one worth doing. And I know that there's some amazing spaces that have been created throughout Oklahoma that still celebrate, the language and the thought and the culture and the diversity that those tribes have brought to us.
Yeah. Question three, what is a lesson you've taught on Native Americans? How did you celebrate them?
Well, as a math teacher, I never really had a lesson that had any sort of reference to Native Americans. It was all mathy, number-y things. I guess I could have done a better job of trying to actually boil that down into some sort of problem-based learning situation. But for this question, I loved what Double Down Funston had to say, our moderator at Funston WM. He said, as a T, I was fortunate to erect a teepee with my students, and I ensured everyone helped, and that was the expectation. And I guarantee you, the students who participated in that didn't forget it.
Like, no, for sure.
You're not going to forget erecting a teepee.
No.
And so I never had that experience, and I thought that is an excellent way to, that's an excellent lesson.
That is an excellent lesson. I liked Cindy Hackney, who is at Hackney Cindy on the Twitters, said, we offer Kiowa language, Indian Ed cultural classes, and a traveling dance troupe. I mean, that's cool. I want to know where they're at and when that dance is happening. It also says, and J-O-M tutors. What is J-O-M,
I got to be honest. Do you know? I am not sure what that is, but it came up frequently. Maybe we should do some research.
I think you're right.
Or if you're listening, leave an answer in the show notes, in the comments.
Yeah. What is JOM?
Yeah. So yeah, I think I would love to, I just think some of the cultural diversity is amazing and we need more of it. Okay. So question four, Native students are a subset of the student population of public schools. What are some strategies you have to encourage growth?
Okay. So student-centered learning. Amber DeWinter posted this. She is at DeWinter Amber. Student-centered learning, allowing students to choose assignments from a menu to highlight their own skills and learning, interests, and growth. I think that that is key to not just Indian education, but all special interests groups. Letting them showcase and highlight the things they know about themselves is definitely a way to keep strategies and growth occurring.
I think it's important to remember that we all of us have a unique story to tell, and it doesn't matter what culture we come from. There is a history there and a story there and a piece of our collective fabric there, and we need to be better as a society in recognizing that those differences are not bad differences, and they make us who we are as a people. And so just being able to let your diversity show through in a way that honors your traditions, I think is amazing. I really loved Gifford's Twisters at Ms. K. Gifford. She said, for my students, simply honoring their culture and celebrating it has been a confidence builder, and confidence equals growth. I love that.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't even know what else you say on this question. That's awesome. So question five, how do you encourage Native American parents and guardians to support their students for growth and success?
And again, I was never in a situation where I dealt with a very large Native American culture. And so I would assume that I would want to reach out to them like I reach out to most of my students. But at Twyla Hester, she said it's important to identify the resources available to various groups, including Native American students and families. And each group is going to have a different thing that they need supported with. And I think that's excellent advice to any administrator or teacher, is to identify those key areas. Because for some people, it may be in some of our communities, it is Native Americans. But for some of our community, it's Mexican Americans. For some of our community, it is children in a very, very low socioeconomically depressed neighborhood. And all of those things need different supports.
Well, and I think that's where Jennifer Setzinger's, she is at Room 20 Awesome. She said, I don't view my students as subsets, but individuals. I try to give each student what they need by meeting them where they are. And that is something you can do for Native American students. It's also something you can do, like you said, for all sets of children.
We each have our things. Now, this is where things get a little bit interesting. So in terms of sensitive pedagogy, how do you approach your students when teaching about Columbus Day and or land run reenactments? And that's just something that I never, growing up, I never considered as, hey, we're having a land run today, so we're going to eat some candy and stake a claim.
You know? Right. Or, I mean, you get the little OG&E flag or whatever and poke it in the ground.
Yeah.
And that's where I was saying earlier, like, how young do you start saying, hey, Columbus was really kind of a rapist, and we celebrate the fact that he found the wrong piece of land and brutally, you know, harshly took advantage of Indians and killed them and slaughtered, you know what I'm saying? Like, how do you say, yeah, we know Columbus and he sailed the ocean blue, but he was kind of a punk, you know?
I mean,
at what age do you start that?
None of that was very sensitive, Erin. I just have to say.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, you go back and do some research and there's not a whole lot to celebrate with Columbus, in my opinion.
Right.
The idea of travel, the idea of finding things, the idea that the world was not flat. I mean, these are things that we can celebrate, but gosh.
Some of it was harsh. I believe you and I highlighted the same tweet on this one. and it came from Corey Williams at Mr. Williams. Okay. He says,
well, you had two, and that's why I stole this.
Yeah, one. No, that's fine. I just thought this tweet summed it up. Land run all you want, as long as you'll walk them without shoes and sub zero for a bit, just to get the feel of the Indian. And he had an ND in there. He was running out of space.
Removal.
But yeah. But when you talk about the Trail of Tears, I mean, and we talk about it, but I think we don't give it enough weight or understand the weight of what happened, because we don't have a culture that goes, like, you and I don't have that culture that goes back to that. Does that make sense?
And then what was your second favorite tweet?
My second one came from Anicia West, and I don't remember seeing her in Oklahoma Ed too often, but I loved this tweet also. Teach the truth, the real truth. Provide students opportunities to speak their truths, then listen to them. And I think that's all. These two go together in such a way that I think that just we have to be aware of what's going on around us, and we have to be aware of our history. History was written by winners, and so that's one specific point of view, right? But there were losers there too, and those people should have a voice about what has happened. And not everything was fair and equitable and just. And those injustices need to be understood so we don't repeat them in the future.
Well, and called out. I think that's one of the great things Hamilton, the Broadway musical, is doing. And Lin-Manuel Miranda has really diversified the cast, which at first I was like, well, that's weird. And, you know, Andrew Burr is black and Hamilton is, you know, and I was like, oh, you really look way past all of those things once the musical gets going. And they're just telling a story. And I think so often slavery was, I mean, our founding fathers, these people we hold up so high, owned slaves. They owned people, you know, and just getting a rewriting of history so that it's a little more sensitive to people and issues that have happened in the past. I think we do need to right some historical wrongs in our textbooks.
No, I agree with that. And I think that can be challenging too, because I can see how people may feel threatened.
Oh, sure.
You know, by that as well. So that is sensitive pedagogy right there.
And indeed.
I'm sure the conversation we just had got somebody's nerves stretched.
We won't dwell on it too long, Scott. Question 7. There are 39 federally recognized nations or tribes in Oklahoma. Discuss possible partnerships you can include in your curriculum. You can include past partnerships as well. I have no partnerships. I mean, I am so behind the curve on this topic. I don't have anything to submit here for myself. But I did like what Stephanie Heim, and she's at Mrs. Heim on the Twitters. She said, inviting them to teach their tribal language and Native American dances, et cetera. You know, let them be your partner in creating this curriculum and this content that you're trying to teach.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent idea. I liked what Deborah Thorson had to say at DJ Thorson. She said many of the tribes are quite willing or eager to share their culture with outsiders. Just contact your local tribe.
I'm tortillas.
Sorry.
I didn't quite catch that.
I didn't either.
But I think both of these tweets are excellent examples of what we can do, because no matter where you live in Oklahoma, you live close to a tribe who would probably be more than willing to come and talk with students of any age about almost any topic, and that can be probably more efficiently utilized.
Well, and maybe they can help me find a way to talk about Columbus with my third graders without me scaring them,
right,
and having bad dreams.
Right. You don't want to. I mean, you don't want to wreck a child too young.
Right.
I mean, I want to try and wait till at least fourth grade, Aaron. At least fourth grade. So right. What was your favorite question, Aaron?
So this one to me was question 1. What is Indian education to you, and what is your role? My role just got bigger. I don't know how, but I'm definitely doing research and bringing more of this into it. So that was my got to keep moving on this topic.
Yeah, that's question. A good one. That's a good question.
What about
I
really, you?
I loved question 6. In terms of sensitive pedagogy, how do you approach your students when teaching about Columbus Day and or land run reenactments? And I was just having a conversation earlier today. I'm listening to the Disclosure podcast, and they're talking about the Freddie Gray, the death of Freddie Gray, which is the young man in Baltimore who was given a quote-unquote rough ride and died as a result of that. And as a white male who's Christian and married with kids, there's just certain things that I don't experience, and I need to try and understand. I don't want to tell somebody how they should feel. I want to understand what's going on. And so listening to this Freddie Gray story and the things that he had to worry about as a young black man in Baltimore are things that I would never have to worry about, which are the same things that, which are different things that our Native American culture has a history and culture of that I have no experience with. But I need to be respectful of that and need to understand that in a way that when I do teach about Columbus and I do teach about Landrun, that I do it in a way that's sensitive, yet communicates our history. And I think it's important for all of us to use a topic like this to come out of our comfort zones and to have hard conversations about diversity in our society. It's an important piece of who we are, and we could do so much better at being more culturally inclusive with how we are.
Yeah. I don't have anything to add to that. Yeah. You did great there.
Okay. All right.
What was your boom sauce tweet of the night, Scott?
I actually had a couple boom sauce tweets of the night. One came from Shelby at Shelby Junior 3. She started tweeting into the All Oakla Ed, I guess about the time we started doing this podcast, or at least that's when I noticed her, because her tweets are on target. And I went with this one from her. These discussions remind me just how much I don't know. And I don't know was all in caps. And she hit a nail on the head, because I am not as familiar with this as I should be. Based on where I live, I should be more aware and have a stronger voice in this.
Right.
What about you?
Well, Angela Clark Little, known as Ange M. Little on the Twitters, she was both of my boom sauce tweets. So one, she says, I am not an expert, but we are Choctaw and Chickasaw, affiliated with Chickasaw, and we don't use any services and should. And so for somebody who has an affiliation with a tribe and still doesn't know much and doesn't take part in any services, I think that shows me how little maybe even some Native Americans know about what's out there and available to them. And we've both got resources linked in here that you can check over. But I liked and I replied to her. My other favorite boom sauce tweet was, my great grandma was full blood Chickasaw and lived to be 108. She was the oldest Native American on the roll in the U.S. when she died. And I said, whoa, that is Native American history right there. I mean, that is great facts for your kids to know.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. My second boom sauce tweet of the night came from Joy Hoffmeister, our state superintendent, who is often in these things. And she definitely had a different view on this. And she said, here's some great news about our Native American student academic performance. And she shared a picture with some links. And here's what she highlighted. Oklahoma American Indian students lead the nation in math and reading scores.
Wow.
So I thought that was super, super awesome.
And I know that the State Department of Education, and we've got their link here, sde.ok.gov/sde/Indian-education. This is a resource you can go to. I mean, from grants that are available, scholarships that are available, lesson plans that are available for Indian education. I thought that, as soon as we were done here, I started Googling Indian education. And this was one of the first ones that came up. And I thought it was really good. And what they've put together out there is a pretty solid set of materials. I bet that Funston could probably help us out with a few more. We just have to educate ourselves.
Yeah, and Funston appeared very eager to share with anybody that would ask him. So you can definitely engage him on Twitter. He would be a good first leaping off point, as it were. And he was willing. He's doing his dissertation on Native American cultures, and he was also willing to share that as well.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think that's awesome. And you can find him at FunstonWM. There's a link to his Twitter in the show notes.
Great. So what's going on next week, Scott?
Hey, next week, really funny. I had tweeted at Ms. Beck 25 about who was hosting, and she zinged me back with, "You need to read my tweets," basically. she had just shared the graphic about three times right before. But Student Leadership, hosted by at Chris Coop 80 and at McCaps Sparks, or however you want to break that up with your syllables. And they're hosting us next week.
Are they students or teachers? Do you know?
I believe they're teachers. So,
okay.
It should be a good student voice chat. Those chats are always exciting to listen to.
I hope. I mean, I think we should encourage students to show up this next week. For all of you that listen to this, Mom, share it so that maybe we can get a few more students that don't typically participate in the Oak Ledge Twitter chat to come give, you know, some of their opinions on student leadership.
Yeah, I think it would be super great. And when we've had student-led discussions in the past, they have been out flipping standing. And I don't think this is student-led necessarily, but when we give our students voices, they can do the most amazing things. So it's Melinda Parks and Chris Coop.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Oakland, be a grassroots movement that you are and dominate the world.
Saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.